Welcome to the Hollywood Outsider, an award-winning weekly entertainment podcast. In this episode, we're going to get into the holiday spirit with our holiday spirit movie battle royale. Let's get on with the show. My name's Aaron Peterson. Joining me today are my jingle bells, John Davenport.
Hey, buddy. How you doing today?
I'm doing well. And my bells number two, Troy Heinrichs.
Ho, ho, ho.
What's up, hoes? Amanda Sink could not be here. She she wasn't feeling too good. She was a little too much nog, you know?
It happens.
What are you going to do?
I respect it, though.
Is there such a thing as too much nog?
In her case,
there
apparently.
Definitely a case of too much.
I gotta say, one of my favorite things this time of year is when I used to buy this sort of thing, the eggnog milkshakes from Burger King. Oh,
you don't do things like that anymore because you're too health conscious or what?
I only just started going back to fast food on Saturdays and getting my Chick-fil-A breakfast. But yeah, I don't normally do fast food anymore. But yeah, it's used to be a thing way back in the day where I would make it a point to go get those eggnog milkshakes. Not just like a little one. It had to be a large.
You couldn't just get the small just to get a little taste. You had to big gulp it.
Mm-mm. Nope. It had to be the biggest size they had just because if it was going to happen, it was going to happen big.
I understand that completely, John, because like there's a place that opened up an authentic taco shop by my house. It's like, if I'm going to get an horchata, it's not going to be the small. It's going to be the biggest one you got. This fresh horchata is amazing.
You guys are making me hungry.
I'm thirsty, but sure.
I think, you know, I start clamoring for Winter Jack this time of year. So obviously I have a problem. I start seeing the bottles back in stores and I'm like, oh, ooh, Winter Jack's back. I guess it's Christmas time.
Oh, it's going to be time for those special old fashions.
No, you don't old fashion those. I drink that straight.
Yeah. It's a sipping beverage.
Yeah. It's like just a sipping whiskey, kind of. It's like a cider. It's much lighter than a Jack Daniels. It's not as strong.
Oh, all right.
My son and I, around Christmas one year, we had a bottle of that and we polished that sucker off and then a half of another one. And we had a wonderful holiday time. Might be the best holiday we've ever spent together. So big fan.
That's bonding in the Peterson house, I guess.
That's how we do it. That's how we do it in the alcoholism. I mean, Christmas season.
I can honestly say that I can still count on one hand or no hands how many times I've been drunk around my dad.
Really?
Yeah, it doesn't happen.
Even around the holidays, I mean, that's when families should be getting drunk around each other and telling them what they really feel.
Yeah, even around the holidays, it's just like something I can't do. He, on the other hand, there's been plenty of times where I've had to like carry him to the, you know, to the truck or something to get him, you know, where he needs to be. Or he's like, I'm fine, which I realize that's where some of my family members get that from. But yeah, there's been a couple times where I've had to be like, you good? And he's like, I'm happy.
Speaking of holiday spirit like that, this episode is centered around the elusive holiday spirit. So how do you get into the holiday spirit? What do you do? How do you get your mindset there?
I mean, for me, I don't really get into the holiday spirit. No offense. I got ruined on the holiday, to be honest.
Humbug.
Not humbug, but I worked at a radio station where we played Christmas music all day, every day, every hour. And when you do that for 30 days, because you start after Thanksgiving straight, it's just like, it just kind of grates on you after a while. So I am thankful that there are movies that can bring the holiday spirit enough that I can survive.
Skip the music?
Well, yeah, definitely skip the music. I do not do holiday carols. Like, no. The radio gets turned off during... I listen to Rock Alternative or something.
Not even a little Mariah? Mariah does nothing for you?
Oh, yeah. Mariah does a lot for me. It increases my rage factor. It makes me want to go postal on every Christmas caroler out there. No. I do like the meme where she like smashes the pumpkins and then breaks out of the ice. That's funny. Christmas has just become such a commercialized thing that it's hard to get the true spirit of the holidays. And I think movies are the only place where that true spirit still exists. Mm.
Well, I crank out Chris Isaac's Christmas, and Christmas doesn't start until I hear that. So that's the only CD I play too. Yeah, I said CD. It's my Spotify track. However you listen, it's the only one that I listen to. I don't listen to anything else. It's really kind of sad.
You know, when I really want to feel the Christmas spirit, it's any kind of music that's Christmassy.
I didn't say Christmas is a holiday spirit. I just said
I'm sorry. Well, okay. It's anytime I want to feel the holiday spirit, it's music, it's movies, it's television shows, you know, all the special episodes, all those episodes in which people are giving a little bit more, all those episodes where people are showing love a little easier, things like that, really do help me get in the spirit. This year might be a little bit different because I don't plan on doing anything at all, but we'll see.
Why don't you go sit on Santa's lap?
I will take my pants off first.
You didn't have to make that weird. You know, you could have just said, yeah, and I'll tell him what I want for Christmas. Instead, you went right for, you know, Pornhub.
Me and the jolly fat man don't get along much anymore.
Because what did he do to you? He didn't do anything. Did he not bring you some freaking drone that you wanted or something like that?
Oh, I don't know. I take care of me, man. I take care of me.
Well, if you sit on his lap, he'd take care of you too.
That's why I'm taking my pants off first.
Oh my God. You know what? Let's go right into it. This is a one topic episode. It's the holiday spirit movie Battle Royale.
Otherwise known as Aaron got bored.
No. Aaron is just trying to make sure that you guys don't get bored. That's what Aaron's trying to do.
Also, the strike just ended, so we're still waiting for content to be delivered.
Yeah. By the way, and Troy, I didn't hear. Did you hear him offering to do the format at any point?
Nope.
I didn't hear any help from John coming this way.
Yeah, so let's play the game. Well, what's that other game? Shut the fuck up. Let's play that one.
Wait a minute. It says right here in the format, fuck you, Aaron.
No, I don't think it says that. I don't think so.
Talk about holiday spirit. I'm feeling it right now.
You should be. I'm about to jam it right up your ass. All right, so the holiday spirit, Daddy. Movie Battle Royale. If you ever listen to a movie Battle Royale, basically we take 8 final movies. From it's Ho North and Ho South, and there's 2 factions of each one. Amanda, her picks are in here, but we did a poll in Facebook, in our Facebook group, of asking what movies for you represent the holiday spirit the most. We took 4 out of those top 5, and they're in part of this. And then we introduce our 4 choices. So we have 8 finalists, and we're going to decide which movie represents the holiday spirit the most. And what we're going to do is we're going to talk about what is the best suited to put you into that holiday spirit. It doesn't have to specifically be a Christmas movie, but for whatever your reasons are, your film puts you in that spirit of the holiday. In other words, it makes your holiday just feel right. Before we get into our proper battle, is there anything that didn't make your list that's worth mentioning? Things that really do get you into the spirit, but didn't quite make the final list.
I mean, there's classics, right? There's like Christmas Story and Wonderful Life and all the usuals that are out there. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. There's just things that signify holidays, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Dutch. You know,
Dutch. Sure. For you, maybe.
What? It is a Thanksgiving movie.
Why couldn't you? We're talking. Yeah. Why do you always got to pull out the one that nobody else watches? Like, not even Ed O'Neill watches that one.
What? Dutch is a great movie.
I'm not saying that's not.
Poor Ed. It's a good movie, though.
Yeah.
It is a good movie.
I just, like, that's not the first one I would think of. That's all. Or the top 10.
Well, he said Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, and I went to Dutch because they're both Thanksgiving movies.
Okay.
All right.
I guess they're the only 2. Go ahead, Troy. Sorry.
Well, no, I mean, there's lots of movies that make you think about holiday spirit at the end of the day. But we can only pick 8, and actually we can only pick 4 because we had to pick 4 from the list that Aaron already told us to pick from. So
I got a question. You brought up It's a Wonderful Life, right? Didn't make the final list. It was in the top 5 in the poll. It was the only one that didn't get picked in the final list. It was almost on mine, and I went a different way. Sorry, Mom. But my question to you on It's a Wonderful Life, Do you feel it's still as prominent today as it was 20 years ago? Because I don't hear people talking about it nearly as much as I used to.
I don't think it's as prominent today. It isn't something that people talk about a lot. They usually refer to the ones that we picked, the ones that are 30 years ago now, that in maybe another 30 years they won't be as special, you know. But for us, they're still pretty special. If you think about it, Wonderful Life, that's 1950s, 1960s. 30 years from that was 1980s. And it made sense that when we were growing up, for It's a Wonderful Life to still be talked about as much as it was back then. But nowadays, it's, you know, people are moving on.
It's 1946, just so you know.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, I remember It's a Wonderful Life being like my mom's movie, and she made us watch it as kids. So it's definitely a product of like that generation, right? The boomers, for lack of a better term for them.
Mean shitheads? What?
No,
I'm sorry. I'm kidding.
It's just a generational name. How you want to think of the boomers is your own personal interpretation, but it is a classified name for that grouping.
Karens?
Jesus. And this is why you don't get invited to Christmas right now. That's why your dad doesn't invite you over.
No, he's exactly. Invited me. My sister's invited me. I think my brother's even invited me, but I don't want to go to those people.
They didn't mean it. They didn't mean it.
They probably didn't.
But It's a Wonderful Life, I think, resonated again more 20 years ago than, say, now, because one, back then, you didn't have things that were that kind of a runtime other than like The Wizard of Oz or Gone with the Wind. Now, when you have 3-hour movies all the time, like It's a Wonderful Life seems very long because these 3-hour movies seem very long. And so I think if there's a way to like recut It's a Wonderful Life into a short, sweet 2-hour movie, I think that might be more appreciative for the 6-second generation that we're currently living in today.
You know what they really need to do is give it to Zack Snyder and make him remake
it. Make it a 5-hour version?
That's right. Have him recut it. You know.
Okay. I want to touch on that. Number one, it's a 2-hour and 10-minute movie. It's not 3 hours long, for Christ's sake.
But you only see it on broadcast TV, so it is 3 hours after it goes from 7 to 10 because you got to fill the whole Sunday night block.
I own a copy of it. People own it. There's many people that own it. I think the time thing is a Troy thing. I don't think that's every people thing.
Like Troy's very, like, there's commercials long. And shit, and nobody's watching commercials anymore.
There's some truth. It feels very, very long.
I feel it's black and white. People don't want to, the modern generation, younger people don't want to watch a black and white movie very often unless they were raised on it and it's nostalgic to them. I think it's going to be very hard to get someone who's not been raised on that movie to go watch that movie and still enjoy it the way that we do or did.
Or at least understand that style of movie.
Or the way that John and I apparently did, because Troy obviously did not like It's a Wonderful Life. He's like, it's a wonderful snooze.
Yeah.
The first time was like, oh my gosh, an angel gets its wings. The second time it was like, I don't care about the damn angels. Just put the football game on.
Wow. Yeah. You know, I had that movie one year and a buddy of mine came over and, you know, I have the HD TV and the nice sound system. He walks in and he's expecting, you know, he's looking at it. He's like, why does this look like it's in HD? I'm like, well, that's how film works. It captures everything in HD. Yeah. But they did this in the 40s. It can't be HD. No, that's how film works. They captured it in HD. But everything looks like it's brand spanking new, like they're about to come off the screen. And that's how film works. It captures everything in HD. Well, then why did it look like crap when we were kids? Well, because they have to dumb it down so they can broadcast a shit. All right. You know, I'm sorry. I was a tangent.
No, it's great how so far all of your holiday spirit items have been angry things. Maybe we should. Is there joy in your holiday spirit at any point?
I'm sure somewhere around here there's
like when you see a child, do you just slap them? Like what happens?
Whoa. A
child comes to the door singing carols and John just knocks his ass back to the street.
Oh, I just kick right in the chest. Kick that little bastard right in the chest. Yeah. Get away from my door.
So dark. Speaking of so dark, I have several things that are kind of dark comedies. Or just darker movie. The Hateful Eight has become like a Christmas staple in my house since it came out. I watch it every Christmas.
Oh, no, but give me a hard time about Dutch.
The Hateful Eight's a good movie. Bad Santa.
So is Dutch.
I'm sure it was in the three people's houses that saw it. Bad Santa's obviously one. Christmas Chronicle series. I obviously am a Kurt Russell nut, so I love.
All right, I'll give you that one.
Yeah, and I wanted to add one. Like, this has become added to my rotation the last few years, and I absolutely love this movie. Last Christmas, it's such a beautiful, beautiful movie with Khaleesi.
Yes, that movie. I'm so mad at that movie. To be honest, I love the movie, but I'm so mad that I did not. I had an idea of where it was going to go before I saw the movie, but the why. I was so mad I didn't pick up on it because it's like it's smack dab in your face.
I figured that out pretty quick. Oh, so I'm kind of disappointed that you didn't, but
I don't want to talk about it because I feel really dumb.
If you haven't seen it, haven't seen it, it's a beautiful movie. Like, it really, really is. And
it's really, really good.
Emilia Clarke is absolutely adorable in it. And, having the whole Wham backdrop is nice too.
Because that's how I felt when it was like,
wham!
Duh! Like a frying pan hit me in the head.
That's the one where she's got like some sort of substance abuse problem, right?
She's got a few problems.
She's got a coffee problem, I think.
Yeah, she's got a lot of problems.
Well, that's a substance.
She's got some problems, yes. But it's a very good movie, and it's just about a woman finding herself again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ugh, all that joy. Who wants all that? Let's go watch Violent Night for the third time or something.
Ooh, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
I haven't watched it yet. I've been saving it since I bought it. No, I've been saving it since I bought it. So that if I was like waiting for Christmas so I can watch it.
Aw, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I'll tell you how it ends.
You can do It's a Wonderful Knife and Thanksgiving as a double feature.
There you go.
Now you got Krampus also. Krampus.
Krampus is fun.
Yeah. Violent Night.
What's the verdict on Krampus? The ending, I've had this debate with, I don't know if I've had it with you guys, but I had it with somebody. The ending to the movie.
Wait, you talk about movies to other people?
It's very possible.
You son of a bitch!
I was cheating on you, you son of a bitch.
Ugh.
No, but at the end of the movie, you know, everything that happens, and then it's basically reset. My interpretation of that is that all of that actually happened, and it's basically, it ends with a warning that if you don't do this again, or it's going to happen again. What is your interpretation of how the movie ended?
I thought it was pretty clear what happened because
what happened?
Maybe I watched a director's cut or something because they end up being trapped in the Krampus's tree.
So they were all trapped in there then, right?
Yeah.
So they're all there still.
Yeah. They're all there. Then they're forced to relive it every single time.
Okay. So it did all happen. Okay.
Yeah. Sorry. I didn't mean to ruin the director's cut for you.
It's not the direct. I think it's just the normal cut.
Oh, well, then how did you miss that?
No, it's not that I missed it. I didn't miss it. I'm just saying, like, I had the debate about did it happen or not. And someone I was talking to said, well, at the end, no, it was all reset. It was just his dream. Like, it didn't actually. I'm like, no, all that happened. Like, everything happened.
Yeah, everything happened. It all happened to them, and they get reset because they have to get punished over and over and over again because that's how Krampus works.
It's nice.
I like him.
Fun dude. Guy you want to party with.
Yep.
But we do have a movie battle royale.
Oh, yeah, we got that too. You want to do that?
Oh, sure. You know what? Let's just start riffing about movies some more.
I think it's fun. We're doing fine with that, but let's get into the battle royale.
All right, fine.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for the Hollywood Outsider Movie Battle Royale. That is where we take 8 films, 2 favorites from each of our hosts, and we determine which one is the ultimate greatest film in the entire Ho universe. It is definitely a lot of fun, and it is time to get to it. Let's decide what is the greatest film of a genre. It's time for the Movie Battle Royale. So again, we have 8 finalists, so we're going to get down to 1 winner of what movie represents the holiday spirit best. And here we go. We're going to start with Ho North. And Troy, you get to go first. So what are your 2 films? Now, keep in mind that when Troy describes them, he also has to explain why they represent the holiday spirit for him.
Absolutely. Well, this is a movie that reinvented a classic holiday story, aka A Christmas Carol, and it's the modern musical rendition of Charles Dickens' classic told through the musical Spirited.
Well, get a load of this.
Yeah, I'm waiting.
So, flying him back to his childhood in Minneapolis.
Uh-huh.
And he's holding my hand. And he can't help himself. He starts flirting with me. One thing led to another. And,
Please tell me you're kidding.
I am.
Okay.
Not kidding.
What?
I know.
Here we go.
It was unprofessional, but... You know, it's been a very long time since anyone's tried to get up in my beeswax, so Mama did something for herself for a change.
Okay, well, did Mama consider the stakes? He's an unredeemable.
He redeemed himself a little bit.
Good for you.
Just saying. Okay, now I feel like he's judging me.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm not judging you. I don't even know what to think. Hold on. Where is he now?
Oh, he's fine. He's in his childhood bedroom in the 80s.
Spirited was something that came up onto the mainstream just a year ago, and where, yes, Will Ferrell probably shouldn't be the one who is in the lead role in this particular movie because of his singing ability. Ryan Reynolds did okay, but the concept behind Spirited, I think, is what was really the thing that brought the most holiday joy for me in watching this particular musical piece. It was also from the people that did the book behind Greatest Showman and Dear Evan Hansen. And so I'm a fan of that work. So I really enjoyed the songs and the way it was put together. And this classic around how the main character played by good old Mr. Will Ferrell was actually Scrooge himself trying to come back to be a real life human again versus, you know, a ghost because he had passed away. And then they're working that through this new potential Scrooge in Ryan Reynolds' character. I just think it's a fun journey of people that are working for a common goal, has some good twists, it has some good lessons. You get that buddy kind of feel to it because who wants a good buddy on the holidays to be able to drink nog with and, you know, survive the family and all that good stuff. So I think just with the music alone and even the cut song that is at the end of the movie during the credits, just Ripple, I thought was I listened to Ripple actually probably more than I listened to majority of the ones on the soundtrack. Just because I thought it was pretty well done. I like the dance number in it as well. It just screams holidays because when you think of the holidays, you think of the Christmas Carol, and this is what we're talking about with It's a Wonderful Life. It's a great way to reinvent an old story in a way that works for a modern audience today.
Okay. Sold me a little bit on that one.
And I like it because of the music. The music makes me feel at least a little joyful this time of year. Okay. My second one is, of course, classic, can't be beat. It is one you will pop in probably all the time, even though the tomato meter gives it a 66% rating. The audience still gave it an 80%. So for some people, it's not so great, but it's Home Alone.
Keep the change, you filthy animal.
What happened? I don't know who's in there, but somebody just got blown away.
Huh?
Somebody beat us to the job. They're in there. Two of them. There was arguing. One of them blew the other one away.
Who?
I don't know. I thought I recognized one of their voices. And I know I heard that name Snakes before.
Snakes? Snakes. I don't know no snakes.
Snakes. Let's get out of here.
Now, we all know that bratty 8-year-old Kevin McAllister acts out the night before his family of 1,000 people takes off to go to the airport for a trip away that they've been planning for a long period of time. And so he wakes up in a house by himself for the holidays where he has to outwit two potential con men and burglars that come to his residence in Joe Pesci and Daniel Stern as the Wet Bandits, as well as survive old man Marley down the street because people think that he kills people with a shovel, but he comes to have a really good connection with the old man. This one is just a really great all around, perfectly done Christmas film about, you know, what it means to be together with family at Christmas, how important it is, specifically to be nice to people and kind to people and not make assumptions about people. It has the, quintessential carol scene that you go to in the church as he's hiding out from the bandits where he runs into old man Marley. And I just think it's really a complete picture of what Christmas is all about, and when you combine that with the score from Williams, it's just a complete understanding of musicality through the entire movie as you have Kevin's theme and the bandits theme, and you can see where those themes come in and play certain parts as the movie goes along, so you actually can predict where the movie's going if you actually listen to the score. I think that just makes it one of the most perfect movies out there, especially for the holidays. It gets the extra kick. So that's Home Alone, the first and original and classic.
You get to take the vote. Or do you want me, me to open it up? Or you want me to
Yeah. It don't matter. John, Aaron, whoever wants to go first.
Okay. So between Spirited and Home Alone, I feel like Spirited has a lot of recency bias there. I mean, I liked it. I did not love it. I wouldn't have even thought about it for the holidays if you wouldn't have said something. So I'm going to go with Home Alone. I think that's a seminal classic, and just the idea of it makes me feel like the holidays.
I am a little surprised that Spirited is even on this list, because I do recall when this movie came out that there were a few people who were unimpressed by it when it came out in this particular group. And I tend to respect your all's opinion up until you tell me that something I like is dumb, and then you're wrong. But even though I love that whole, there's a bit of a viral video that came out of the making of this with Will Ferrell and Ryan Reynolds singing a Micah song. However, it's hard to beat Home Alone when it comes to holiday spirit between the two of these. It just resonates. It hits at the right time. It came out at the right time. It has all the right feelings to it. Home Alone it is for me.
And we know how Amanda felt about Spirited, so Home Alone would be her vote too. Not that it would
matter. That's right. That's who said it was. Okay. I remember it now.
She was not a fan. She was not a fan.
Not a fan.
Not a fan. All right. So Home Alone moves on. Now we go to Home North Me, my first film. It's about a merry gaggle of people who are off on a search for brotherhood and to save the planet, their planet, it's middle planet. They're led by Santa Claus. There's a lot of little people involved. There's really fashionable toys, and it's a Lord of the Rings.
One of you must do this. One does not simply walk into Mordor. Its black gates are guarded by more than just orcs. There is evil there that does not sleep. And the great eye is ever watchful.
I want to point out, the source material does confirm that it was on Christmas Day, December 25th, they set out for this little adventure when the Fellowship first departed from Rivendell to destroy the ring. And again, they had their own little Santa leading the charge. Now, how does it fire off the holiday spirit for me? So I remember seeing this first around Christmas, the first three films each subsequent Christmas. Over the years, I always, pretty much every year, will fire up at least one, if not all, the extended editions when I get close to Christmas time. It just makes me feel very, very Christmassy. And I can't really explain it other than I think a lot of it for me personally has to do with, you have a film that's about heart, and it's about family, and it's about what would you do to protect others. And you know, there's a lot of humanity built into this story that, yes, has orcs and dwarves and elves and magic and all this other nonsense. But all of those are just tools that are meant to bring a family together, to show how other people can carry us over the line, can carry us up the mountain, can help us fight our own demons and overcome them. And to me, that's a big part of what the holiday spirit's about. So Lord of the Rings is my first one.
As a trilogy, not a particular movie.
Yeah, as a whole. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. My second film revolves around a lonely dad who just wants to spend Christmas with his family. He and his wife are estranged, and he's finally arrived in L.A. to try to repair those bonds over the holidays by attending his wife's holiday party. Unfortunately, Hans Gruber and her friends have shown up to steal all the presents and joy from the holiday. But thankfully, John McClane has a gun. Ho, ho, ho. And he's ready to do anything he can to ensure that he stays alive and spends Christmas with his family.
You don't work for Nakatomi. And if you're not one of them...
I'm a cop from New York.
New York.
Yeah. Got invited to the Christmas party by mistake. Who knew?
There's been numerous debates about if Die Hard is a Christmas movie, and they're idiotic. It is a Christmas movie. It's a Christmas staple. I know so many people that watch Die Hard around Christmas time. I just can't even understand how you can argue against it. It's something that I watch every single year at Christmas. Every year. It's required to get me in the spirit of the holiday. I have to watch Die Hard. I just have to. So now I yield the vote. John Davenport.
This is going to be a lot easier than the other one. Because I don't think Lord of the Rings is a holiday movie, but that's besides the point. Die Hard. 100% Die Hard. Every way you say it, it's going to be Die Hard. So that's it.
I was actually going to agree with John for a minute, but then, you know, Aaron's description of Santa Claus leading the elves with the toys and gifts that they get from the great people of
Norling and don't you do this, Troy.
And
Troy, don't you even do this.
Yeah. And then I got to think, like, we don't have to think about the holidays as Christmas, right? Holidays incorporate also Thanksgiving. We have
it's not even The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, because that's actually, I can buy that argument, but I mean,
we have a great Thanksgiving feast in Minas Tirith on the brink of war in Return of the King. Granted, it was a feast for one.
With the grape, right?
You know? With the cherry tomatoes.
Yeah, that's what totally. I meant.
Same word. And then, with a great song, carols are sung at Grant's great halls. Mm-hmm. I mean, this
don't
I,
you, I'm
totally,
Troy?
I'm totally getting there.
God damn it!
Christmas in the Christian sense was placed on December 25th. It's not when Christ was actually born.
I mean, I guess they lit a tree up.
It was counter programming to paganism. So with Mordor being there, I mean, I can totally understand the pagan Christian battle that's currently going on for the fight for Middle Earth. Halloween is the start of the holiday season, so therefore all the scary and spooky and witchcraft like totally plays into the wizarding world of the Middle Earth ages. So, you know, from that perspective, I'm buying into Aaron's, you know, family coming togetherness and being able to give a gift to Middle Earth of world peace. Lord of the Rings wins.
I get to vote too. Oh, wait, I was going to say, how are we going to do this? Because then the person who picked both of them comes in and says, I like this one because it makes me feel good. And it's the Lord of the Rings. Why?
No, it's Die Hard. Die Hard is my pick.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So Lord of the Rings was a sacrificial lamb for you then.
No. That Amanda was supposed to be here. Amanda is not here. I cannot control where Amanda is. That's just the way it's going to roll. It makes the thing a little rigged. What are you going to do? It's Die Hard. But
I mean, yeah,
I do feel strongly that Lord of the Rings is a strong holiday movie that more people probably watch it around the holidays than they even realize.
Oh,
mostly tied to when it came out, because that's when it did come out.
Maybe.
Thanksgiving to Christmas. True.
There's
window.
Something about it that feels Christmassy. And I meant everything I said, like it really does feel like a family coming together kind of film. And that's
insane.
The holiday spirit. Maybe turn that frown upside down. Eeyore, yeah. Huh?
What? Maybe look at it. Why am I Eeyore? Because I'm not going to sit here and be like, you know, I really like it when he stabs the ghost, you know, or I really like it when the little furry guy gets stabbed in the chest, or, you know, I really like it when the guy who walks hunched over eats the fish. No.
I mean, if he had bread, I mean, he'd have a full Thanksgiving meal for one.
I think, doesn't he turn water into wine at one point?
No, he does not.
All right.
This isn't like the Lion, the Witch, of the Wardrobe. I can get on board with that if you were going to say that. Because, number one, Santa Claus is in there. And number two, there's a whole lot of Christian iconography in that.
You already had your vote. I don't know why you're so angry. I mean,
but if you're watching Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe, and you're talking about the Christian iconography, it's actually an Easter film, not a winter Christmas film, in theory.
I hate you.
We hate you too, but it's your turn. Time right. For Ho South. Go ahead, Johnny.
All right. So my very first movie I'm going to go ahead and bring up is the Christmas classic, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Hey. If any of you are looking for any last minute gift ideas for me, I have one. I'd like Frank Shirley, my boss, right here tonight. I want him brought from his happy holiday slumber over there in Melody Lane with all the other rich people. And I want him brought right here with a big ribbon on his head.
And I want to look them straight in the eye, and I want to tell them what a cheap, lying, no-good, rotten, four-flushing, low-life, snake-licking, dirt-eating, inbred, overstuffed, ignorant, blood-sucking, dog-kissing, brainless, dickless, hopeless, heartless, fat-ass, bug-eyed, stiff-legged, spotty-lipped, worm-headed sack of monkey shit he is! Hallelujah! Holy shit! Where's the Tylenol?
So Christmas Vacation is known for its enduring humor. The film is filled with very good slapstick, witty one-liners, and memorable moments that continue to make audiences laugh no matter how many times they've seen this. It's relatable because of the family dynamics. The Griswold family is everyone's family as far as the cartoon character versions of them go. Their misadventures are well lauded in real family dynamics. It's fantastic that for that reason. Iconic characters like Clark Griswold, played by Chevy Chase, Cousin Eddie, Randy Quaid, and then Aunt Bethany, Mae Questel, that's an awesome name, have become beloved holiday figures, and their quirks and memorable lines continue the film's lasting history. The enduring message behind this movie, that beyond the comedy, Christmas Vacation carries a heartwarming message about how the importance of family is there for all of us, and the spirit of giving and resilience of joy in midst of the holiday chaos. And it's become a tradition for a lot of people, because this is a movie that whenever you say it's Christmas time or the holidays time, they normally say it's time to break out Christmas Vacation. So that is my first movie. Now, my second movie is the amazing movie of Scrooged.
All right. Let's just say, for argument's sake, that you're right, that I am in big trouble. What exactly would that mean?
Look at me. Look at your future. Now, if you don't change your ways, you're going to wind up doomed, just as I am. 1 minute, I'm on the 14th hole at Wingfoot, lining up a putt. A heart attack later, I'm a worm feast.
No, 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 no. You're not a worm feast. You're a hallucination brought on by alcohol, Russian vodka poisoned by Chernobyl. I've been under a lot of pressure lately. I've been putting on a big
silence.
Again, this is a takeoff from A Christmas Carol from Lewis Carroll. And it is the set in contemporary corporate America, and it has a modern twist that adds relevance and makes the story accessible to the new generation of viewers, and has for years since. Bill Murray's portrayal of Frank Cross, a cynical, heartless television executive, is a standout performance. His comedic timing and ability to convey both humor and redemption make the character memorable. The film incorporates social commentary on the commercialization and superficiality of the holiday season, which resonates with many viewers in the modern world, and it has a wonderful redemption arc that really takes you from one end to the other. This memorable supporting cast, the film features strong people like Karen Allen, Bobcat Goldthwait, Carol Kane, who all contribute to the film's humor and emotional depth, and the iconic scenes where Scrooge boasts several scenes of which I sound like a president right now. Scrooge boasts several.
You sound like a current president. That's for
right.
Sure.
Scrooge boasts several iconic, memorable scenes, such as Frank Cross's encounter with the ghost of Christmas Present, his visit to the homeless shelter, and the climactic ending at the television production. Also, when it comes to setting up a movie for lasting memories with the family around the television, Scrooge is one of those movies that is played on a constant loop throughout the holidays. And that is my second movie. Now, I have the two best movies in the list. I am going to assume you guys know that already, because I'm a badass. Troy, take your vote.
That's really hard. It's really hard choice.
That's what she said.
I wish.
After the eggnog.
I really wish the audience
we can get was you some blue chew
right now, like right here in front of me, so I could look them straight in the eyes and I want to tell them what a cheap, lying, no good, rotten, four-flushing, low-life, snake-looking, dirty, inbred, overstuffed, ignorant, blood-sucking, dog-kissing, brainless, dickless, hopeless, heartless, fat-ass, bug-eyed, stiff-legged, spotty, lip-worm-headed, sack of monkey shit Scrooge is. Hallelujah. Holy shit. It's Christmas Vacation.
Well done. All right, so Christmas Vacation it is for Troy. Aaron?
Well, let's get my vote for that. Damn. Well done. Yeah, me applauding.
That's awesome.
Yeah, Christmas Vacation, I'm not really a big fan of Scrooged. So.
All right, well, I love Scrooge very much, but I'm going to go ahead and you know what? No, my vote's Scrooge because, you know, Christmas Vacation is going on to the championship anyway, so.
Okay.
Okay.
You rebel.
I am a rebel.
He couldn't even give it to you, Troy. Like, you just did that wonderful performance, and he's like, I'm still not going to vote for it. No. Nope. Even though it already won, and I know it's going forward, nope, I'm not going to do it.
You know what, Aaron? It's about giving a gift, not receiving one.
That's right.
I'm totally fine.
Which Troy knows nothing about.
Jesus.
Receiving.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus.
Screw you, John. I'm going home.
Okay, so here we go. We've got the final round. This is Host South. This is Amanda's picks, and I have her notes here, too. Okay, ready? Her first movie is Harry Potter.
That's totally barbaric.
That's wizard's chess. I see you've packed.
See, you haven't.
Change of plans. My parents decided to go to Romania to visit my brother Charlie. He's studying dragons there.
Good. You can help Harry then. He's going to go and look in the library for information on Nicholas Flamel.
We've looked 100 times.
Not in the restricted section. Happy Christmas.
I think we had a bad influence on her.
Or movie series, as it were. Christmas is a time when anything is possible, when people come together, and when tragedy can be overcome. No child needed more Christmas spirit than Harry Potter. Chamber of Secrets had the most Christmassy spirit. It doesn't center on the holiday, but you see what Christmas looks like for someone who has never experienced it before. It reminds you of better things to come, hope, joy, and love. Finally, Harry has people in his life that love him, accept him, and want him around. That's actually beautifully said. Her second film is Jim Carrey's How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
How about those hoots inviting me down there on such short notice? Even if I wanted to go, my schedule wouldn't allow it. 4 o'clock, wallow in self-pity. 4:30, stare into the abyss. 5 o'clock, solve world hunger. Tell no one. 5:30, jazzercise. 6:30, dinner with me. I can't cancel that again. 7 o'clock, wrestle with myself. Loathing. I'm booked. Of course, if I bump the loathing to 9, I could still be done in time to lay in bed, stare at the ceiling, and slip slowly into madness. But what would I wear?
Or is it just the Grinch? Whatever.
The Grinch.
Obvious Christmas setting, but it has both sides of the spectrum so everyone can connect. Whether you love Christmas and see its cheer or have been beaten down enough to despise it like Mr. Grinch, this one is a staple for showing people can change and be good, that everyone matters no matter what, and how infectious the Christmas spirit truly is. So there you go. You got two to choose from. What do you got, guys? What do you think?
This one's tough for me because...
Me too.
I can see the Harry Potter bit because it does go through the holidays. It does sort of feel like something that you can sit down and enjoy during the holidays. And it has a great message to it. And especially the way Amanda told the story there, it makes sense. How the Grinch Stole Christmas, it's a redemption arc. It's a story about somebody who is so tired about people who take things for granted, and it breaks my heart especially when you realize that the Grinch is living in a garbage patch, that he's living off of all the Christmas toys that everyone threw away, and he has a dog, which means somebody threw that dog away.
We don't know that. You're giving backstory that doesn't exist.
I like my backstory. Anyhow, but it has a great message about how somebody who has closed himself off for so many years opens himself up and becomes part of a part of a society and part of a family in his own way. So it's really a tough choice, but I think I'm going to go with How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
You or me, Trey?
I'm going to vote present.
You got to pick one.
Well, I'm going to defer to you, and then I will.
Okay. So here's what I'll say. I agree with John's summation. I really liked how Amanda put it. And I'll even say this as someone who is not a big Harry Potter fan. I'm not. I do think when it comes to holiday spirit, I feel it more from the Harry Potter films than I do from The Grinch. And it's nothing against The Grinch. I know, but The Grinch is force feeding a lot of it. Like, it's all kind of jamming it down my throat, where I think Harry Potter is a lot more subtle. It's more nuanced. There's a lot of backstory, and it really, really just feeds that holiday spirit, that want to be loved and finding friendship and finding a family that isn't necessarily blood, which I think is the most important part of Harry Potter, is that he doesn't have his family, his parents and whatnot, but he finds another family and he forges forward with that family. And that family is what keeps him alive throughout a lot of it. Like, they are his own personal spirit. So I think Harry Potter, I pick Harry Potter on this scenario.
So 1-1, or are we Harry Potter 2-0?
We're 1-1. You're the deciding vote.
Damn it. I was hoping it was going to be 2-0.
So you weren't listening to John talk at all?
Well, he was just rambling like he usually does. So I didn't know where he was actually landing. See, the problem is that the Jim Carrey Grinch
was saying something?
The Jim Carrey Grinch is not a great movie.
I agree with you so much. I don't like that movie.
If you would have said the DreamWorks, The Grinch Stole Christmas remake or the original, this would be a no-brainer. But because you picked the Jim Carrey version, I'm now struggling between, like, is Harry Potter really a Christmas movie? Because I don't really feel like it is. I know it came out at the holidays, but it doesn't do the same thing like Lord of the Rings does, because there isn't Santa. And there aren't no elves.
Holiday spirit. Not necessarily Christmas. Holiday spirit.
Yeah, but there's no holiday spirit. Dobby's just like, please give me a name. 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 Like, Dobby's not doing anything for anybody.
He didn't say give me a name. He said he's give me
a sock or give whatever. Give me a
clothing. Yes.
Yes. But, you know, he's a wanter.
Way to break
taker.
All those movies down to the most rudimentary aspect.
I mean, Voldemort's like, I want power. I want power. I want power. You know,
and good overcomes evil. That's what holiday spirit's all about.
Does it really, though? I mean, wasn't everybody just kind of evil in that movie?
Jesus Christ, Troy, bring it home.
Yeah, let's pick something here.
I do like the whimsicalness, though, of the first movie, and I feel like the Christmas scene gives it the Christmas feel. Oh, I just really don't like the Jim Carrey movie. Like, fine, we'll go with Harry Potter, because Amanda likes Harry Potter.
What a resounding vote. All right.
So now, it won't go any further, though, because, right, John's going to win that.
Maybe. We'll see where we end up. It's time to go there, right? So we'll start with Home North. The finalists are Home Alone and Die Hard. And it's best of three. And this is open. So go ahead, John. Home Alone and Die Hard.
Home Alone or Die Hard. You know, this one's going to be a really interesting one because they're essentially the same movie, you know? But I think I like the Die Hard version of the movie more than Home Alone.
I like the John Williams score of the version of the movie more, so I have to go Home Alone.
I have to go Die Hard because I rarely watch Home Alone. It doesn't make me feel as much as Die Hard does. Second one, Christmas Vacation versus Harry Potter. Troy, you go first.
Oh, that's Christmas Vacation.
John?
Christmas Vacation. Christmas Vacation.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go Harry Potter because Amanda couldn't be here. So there you go, Amanda. You got recognized.
Why is the floor wet, Aaron?
Now we got a real vote here. Christmas Vacation versus Die Hard. Go ahead. Choose wisely. What is your pick? Christmas Vacation versus Die Hard. For the most representative of the holiday spirit, however you see that.
The most representative of the holiday spirit, I think, has to go to Christmas Vacation because Randy Quaid got in that beat up freaking camper and drove to get that dude in the middle of the night to bring him, because that's all he could do, right? He didn't have a ton of money. He didn't have a lot, but he knew he could do this one thing for his dear brother, just to make his Christmas happen. And that just brings a tear to your eye. So, I mean, granted, you know, people blow up later because of the sewage problem, but, you know, he did that one thing for Clark. And I think that's really what Christmas is all about.
Kidnapping people. Yep. Okay.
Giving a gift with you got nothing to give, because you know that one thing is going to make that person's day.
That's good to know, that keeps on giving.
Troy believes that if you don't get that Christmas bonus, you kidnap the boss and bring him to dinner. Got it.
Amen.
Noted.
Mm-hmm.
I'll do it for you, Aaron.
I appreciate it. I'll give you his name.
John depends.
Well, speaking of me, I am going to go ahead and say that it's Christmas Vacation. The reason why it's Christmas Vacation is because that is something that I can only watch during the holidays. I don't watch it outside of the holidays. I don't watch it during the summer. I don't watch it during the spring. I only watch it in the holiday season. Die Hard, I can get away with watching that at any time of the year. And though I guess you can sort of make the argument as to why that makes it the better movie, rephrase it before people get mad or throw me down a set of stairs or something to that effect, the more holiday spirited movie. Wow. I just lost my own train of thought. Okay, cool. Christmas Vacation.
That's all right. We did that when you started talking. I'm going to go with Die Hard, and that would be my vote no matter what, because Christmas Vacation is fine. I know everybody loves it. That's great. It's not my kind of holiday spirit, I guess. I don't know. John McClane makes more sense to me. And at least he's straightforward. You know, he's trying to save his family without committing a bunch of crimes. You know, he's reactive and also proactive, but not Randy Quaid proactive, who happens to be the craziest guy who kidnaps a person. And Clark Griswold loses his ship because he bought a pool that he couldn't afford because he was expecting money that he didn't get.
That explains Christmas. Bingo. Right there.
Pretty we overspend selfish.
We spend on our credit cards to do whatever we can for our families.
Just saying. He spent the whole time saying, I bought this pool, but obviously he couldn't afford this pool. So all of that is on him. It's not on his boss. That's America.
That's Christmas, man. I'm sorry. Hey, can I ask you guys a real quick question?
Oh, Jesus.
Does this mean that I officially win?
Yes. The winner of the Home Movie Battle Royale for the category of Holiday Spirit is Christmas Vacation.
I think this is the first time since I've been on the show that I've won one of these.
You didn't win, John. It just meant that you were able to type faster, because I would have picked this if you hadn't typed 2 seconds before I did. That's all this means. You're just a fast typer.
And Amanda wasn't here. She lost a vote.
Amanda would have sided with me.
Hey, you know what?
Amanda would have voted for Harry Potter.
Arjun, happy holidays. Congratulations on your win.
And Die Hard. I think she would have voted for Die Hard.
You know what? You guys can't just let me have this. This is my first one ever. I think this is my first one ever. And you just can't let me have it.
Well, you really owe it to Chevy Chase and Randy Quaid. And
it's not like you made the movie. People. I mean, you're acting like you wrote Christmas Vacation or something. Like you picked the name that already exists that is considered the most prominent Christmas movie in the world. It's not like you pulled this out of your ass.
I am writing all of this down so that the next time you guys are gloating about your stupid win over this stupid game,
I don't gloat.
I can take it. Oh,
I don't gloat. No, Troy is the person you're thinking of, sir. I don't gloat.
Moi? I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, I don't sit there and go, my movie won. Oh, by the way, I just asked Amanda, Christmas Vacation or Die Hard? She said Die Hard.
Amanda's a monster.
Well, then, if that's the case, then we have to go to the user poll, because that's the rules. The user poll has
Christmas
to decide.
Christmas Vacation won the user poll, so exactly. It would have been that way.
Either. Oh, see? I won. I won everything.
No,
I
won you did win. Christmas Vacation won.
I chose it, which means that I know what I'm talking about.
If your pick won, you did not win.
If we didn't have the no obscurity clause, Velocipaster would have been in the running.
Hey, that is a very big holiday movie. I don't know how you don't understand how Velocipaster tells the story of Christ. It just, yes, it's in it the title.
It sure does. Oh my God. All right. So now we're going to move on to movie innuendo. This is where we're going to take two non-sexual lines, non-pervy lines from any Christmas film and deliver them as movie innuendo. And then we vote on which host has done so the most effectively. And the key here is just to be as inappropriate as you can. So don't judge us for anything you hear. Who wants to go first? Oh, I believe it's Troy. Troy, you get to go first. You got two shots at this. Here's shot number one.
This is from The Happiest Season, spoken by Abby. I just woke up thinking about going home with you, and I got very excited about Christmas.
Okay. Johnny?
Oh, Lord. We have another wet and wild one from Scrooged.
You're up.
I'm up. Okay, so this is from Home Alone 2. Merry Christmas, you filthy animal.
It's a safe one.
Feels too easy. Yeah, you're right.
Feels too easy.
Yeah, too safe. I'll have to go wrong on the next one.
Clark Griswold.
Okay.
From the winning choice of Christmas Vacation. And we're going to have the happiest Christmas.
Works for me.
It is a tippet nipply out here.
Johnny?
This one's for Troy. Look, Daddy. Teacher says every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings.
That wasn't sexy.
Look, Daddy.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, in that spirit, this is from Ruda off the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Oh, dear God.
A toy is never truly happy until it is loved by a child.
Jesus Christ.
Sorry.
Whoa. How many speeds does that one have?
Do you want to play my reindeer games?
No, absolutely not.
Oh,
are they on Donner, on Dasher? Sorry. I can just keep going. Aaron won.
That was good. Yeah, that was good. That was
well done.
Inappropriate?
Inappropriate. Totally
that was
inappropriate.
Way fucked up.
All right, well, that's gonna do it, everybody. I hope you enjoyed listening, and remember that the next time you head to a theater or stream, wonderful holiday movies comfortably on your couch, please buy popcorn and tell your friends about this show, and please share the show on your social media outlets.
Happy holidays, everyone.
Happy holidays.
Yay.
Jesus Christ.